Hello, Victor Feria.
Mr. Steve Turk, how are you? How are you, my friend? It's been a while, right?
Yeah, back in the Tangy Talk studio.
Incredible.
Last published December 6, 2024. Sorry, everyone. I know you were begging to see us this whole time, but we're back. We're back in action. We're gonna, a lot going on.
Yeah, we're going to shake off the rust. We're going to focus on 2025 and all the positives and great things that we got going on and what we're seeing for our short-term rental market and world out there. And I'm excited to get into it and kind of update everyone.
Yeah, we've got a lot going on start of the year, but you know, not to date this because we always like making these evergreen, but we're at the end of January already, which is crazy to say. You know, Incredible. The month has already flown through, so 11 more months in the year. And we've got some big things that we accomplished last year. It was a really good year, record numbers, you know, building out the company, new website, new great hires, like a lot of success from last year. And we're carrying that into this year with some new goals. But before we jump into new goals, I had a goal, which was my new book, Hospitality Unlocked, now available on Amazon with paperback, hardcover, and Kindle. And your very own Victor Feria is in the book because he, trivia note, was the very first guest on my other podcast, The Hospitality Mentor.
I'm so honored, man.
Amazing. So you're in the book with amazing CEOs and leaders and celebrity chefs, and you're in it. It's amazing to see.
It's a great book. I had the honor of getting it signed by the author himself. I got a beautiful little hard cover book. I'm looking at it right now. It does definitely looks beautiful.
Yeah.
But congrats on that, man. Proud of you for that. I know it took you a really long time. It was like a year or something that you've been writing on.
A year. You just never know when you're writing a book. Like I was talking about this, like, is it any good? Will anybody care? You start doubting yourself in your mind, and now it's out in the world, and it's just so cool. I'm grateful to see people sharing it and like sharing quotes that people I don't even know who they are. It's awesome.
Been received well, man. I see all the LinkedIn comments and posts, everybody posting their fresh new book that they just received. So I'm happy to see. And I think your goal of it, I think, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, was to at least inspire, you know, the youth, the people that are coming up in the industry to kind of show them what others, you know, and what, you know, top professionals have done and where they come from, and kind of give that, you know, that really humble beginning from each entrepreneur and each, you know, director that you have on the book and inspire someone. Right. And I think that's the goal. You accomplished it.
I felt good. I wrote it for myself from when I was a young assistant manager, stressed out, not knowing what the heck I was doing. And I wish I had this book to just like flip through and be like, they went through that too. And here's their advice to their younger self. And that's the way the book is set up. It's all the advice that they would give to their younger selves, and then broken down as like a game plan of how you can implement it each day, each week, each month, you know. Amazing. Fun way. Nice and easy to flip through. But I appreciate you being in it and the first ever podcast guest. Now look at us, a network.
To many more.
So one of the things that we just finished this week or last week was we operate our company on EOS, which is the Entrepreneurial Operating System. And it's just a good way to run a company because everyone knows the responsibilities, you know, your tasks, you know, your goals for the year, quarter, month, week, day. And it's just a great way to do. But we have some new goals for ourselves, some stretch goals for 10 years from now and 3 years from now. But some ones that we're going to get done just in this quarter. You know, we talked about some of the things, like you can mention a couple of them. Do you have a couple you want to mention? I'll mention a couple.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I always look forward to these sessions. We have them every quarter. And I just think it's always like a kind of like a, you know, wipe the slate clean, start all over for the quarter. Look at the, you know, what you didn't accomplish, why it didn't get accomplished, and then set new goals for that quarter. And I feel like it's always just like a refresher. So I love it. By far, number one of the year, sign a boutique hotel, right? Number one. Secondly, sign a landscape hotel, a possible landscape hotel. So those are some big twos that I, you know, personally look forward to working and accomplishing. How about you?
I think my big one, we've been talking about this now for almost 4 years, is hiring a dedicated sales person. And we say the sales shark internally, like we want somebody to help us grow with the right places and the right owners and the right properties. So I think I'm most excited about that. and getting that on board for us. I think it will make a big difference because we invested last year in all the marketing. So website, all the things that our look, our logo, our van, everything that we've got going on out of marketing, digital ads. And then the other thing I'm really excited about, you know, for the people we work with is like we have big goals for customer satisfaction, revenue goals. And so I'm excited to get those as well. And for anyone there, we'll give her a shout out. Is Isabel Porzakansky is our EOS coach. I like saying coach. They say integrator, but our coach.
Integrator, implementer, right? But coach, that's basically what she is.
She has a great background. So that's a big key in using this. She is former hospitality, say legend as a regional director of HR for Mandarin Oriental, led some of the most successful hotels in Four Seasons as HR director. So she understands culture and how to build things and hold people accountable. So shout out to Isabel. You know what? Maybe we even clip this and send it to you, Isabel, if you're not
listening. Very well deserved on her behalf. But it's so good and refreshing, right, to get a vantage point from somebody who's not necessarily invested with the success of the company. And can give, you know, their unbiased opinion of what what, you know, we would need to accomplish or of our goals, you know, our intentions for our goals. So it's always good to kind of bounce off those ideas and get that, you know, opinion. So it's awesome to see and awesome to have. And we just got lucky that she has a great hospitality track record, right? So that's a big benefit. And plus, so she speaks the same language. And the communication's always solid, so I'm appreciative of her. Shout out, Isabel.
Going into year two.
We're going now. We just finished year one. We just did our first year, and now we're going into year two.
Yeah, so it makes it for a couple of things that I love about it. One, for our day-to-day structure, very clear how to make decisions quickly, who's responsible for things, but also for other companies, if you decide to use it, that's what people who are looking to buy companies potentially look for. Like, what is the structure? If Victor and Steve were pulled out, how could I operate this thing? And this is why you have these systems, because everything is systemized and has structure and has standards. And so you can really come in and start to operate if you know that system. So I'm a big believer in it. I didn't realize I used to use a lot of it in hotels just on my own.
Yeah.
But in talking to some of my hotel friends, they're like, I don't know how to manage all these things. I was like,
I love it. I think you hit it on the head there. It's, you know, structures everything the right way. We never not know whose job a specific task is for, because we all always have that very aligned. So when something comes up, a to-do comes up, we know specifically who's in charge of that. You know, they're like you said, if a company is looking to purchase another company, and that company already runs on EOS, there's some value on it there, because that company that is purchasing knows exactly, you know, that you're running on an operating system and their structure. And it's not just, you know,
kind
of whatever sticks on the wall. So
I think it's amazing. I love it. We started the year off with some good goals. And I want to reverse this, because one of our goals is to attend conferences. And so we attended, man, I can't believe it, already 2 weeks ago, the IMN Short-Term Rental Forum here in beautiful Miami. It was actually in Aventura, close to some of our vacation rentals.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned a lot there. It was really, like, I think one of the best conferences I've been to for short-term rentals, just the quality of people, the amount of money that's there with investors and the leaders that showed up from all over the globe that showed up to be here. I mean, what did you take away from it?
No, it was such a cool takeaway. I mean, they highlighted obviously the financial component of what it takes to, you know, to purchase a company if you're in a, you're looking to invest. It highlighted specific, like we've talked about, landscape hotels, so unique stays and the way that they market themselves. One big takeaway, we were both in the room. They asked the crowd specifically, you know, hey, who's here selling their company? And only a few hands raised. And then they asked the same question, and who's here buying, who's looking to buy property management companies? And like half of the room raised their hands. So to me, it was eye-opening at the fact that there are big players, big investors still interested in this market, and specifically in that event, learning, you know, what are the right steps, what other people have done in the past to purchase or take on one of these companies or merge with one of these companies. So to me, it was impactful seeing that there's still big, heavy investors in this market. So that's a positive sign for me.
Yeah, I think the other thing, there's a couple of things I took away from it. One, the people that were there are a lot of the newsmakers. They're always like on CNBC or in the Wall Street Journal or in travel magazines. And they were all there, the leaders of those places that are like the darling of the industry right now, which is like the Unique and Boutique and Landscape. Like they're all people that were there and we got to mix with. Mm-hmm. And it was cool that they knew who we were. Right. So that's awesome too. Like we're making waves out there. And the other thing, when we were sitting down for lunch, we had a guy from an investment bank that usually invests in public equities and hotel companies. And he was there just asking questions, doing research. He's like, look, we usually haven't invested in this space, but now we really want to. And it was from a big company that a lot of people would know their name. I'm not going to share because I don't, we'll keep that quiet, but one of the big investment banks. And so they're looking now into this space too. So it just shows you, if you have a system, and we can find the right markets, you will do well. But it also showed, too, was that the era of just plain old places, there will always be a space for it, but it's not winning now. A lot of people are collapsing in that space, and they're not doing very well.
And I think, we'll kind of cover, some topics directed right at that, or what you just mentioned with other companies. That we're seeing, similar things with that. But, you know, that's 100% what you're saying there. It was definitely interesting. And hotels looking into short-term rental, people in the market itself still interested in growing their portfolio. So I was excited. Can we share with them what we did after that event at night?
Yeah, I think so. It was pretty cool to get the invite to be able to go. Tell people what we did.
Yeah, so very cool. Shout out to Zach, and I'm blanking out on his name also, that gentleman who invited us.
And there John.
You go. Yeah. John, shout out to you both for the invitation. I really appreciate you all for inviting us, but we were in a beautiful mansion looking over the bay, and we were there on behalf of Journey, right? And it's a company that is creating the first loyalty program for short-term rentals. So we went there to mingle and to learn more about it. We were in Mr. Birch's private mansion, so that was pretty cool. I don't know if I could say that either, but it was a fun evening and fun event. There was a lot of operators there was a lot of investors, influencers, so it was a really cool crowd, and seeing that together. I think we even got fireworks from Bayside at some point, so that was a
yeah. Well, let me even give it better, because Victor didn't do it right. So Tory Burch, fashion mogul home, is an investor in Journey, and Journey hand selected a few operators to come, and we were one of them to be lucky enough to be invited. And it really was just like the who's who in the industry in this giant mansion on the water on a beautiful Miami night with catered food and music. And you just kind of look around, you're like, man, like, it was pretty cool to be there. And you can check out, I posted on my Instagram, I don't know if Tangy did, but we have a picture of us there smiling right in front of the pool with the water in the background. It's cool. It just shows that we're doing the right thing and we're being around the right people. But I do like what they're creating. And so what Journey is creating, and it's not Journey the PMS, because there's a couple Journeys out there, but they are creating a point system. And so if you stay at any of the properties that are within Journey, which are right now really nice places. Like I think maybe one or two of our places would qualify at that level.
Super high
end. You get points just like you would at Marriott or Hilton, and you can exchange those points for stays. And I think they're going to do really, really well. So they have Tory Burch investing, and the points guy, as the original points guy, is going to be investing. They have a great team of hotel people as well. So we're cheering them on. Let's see what they can do. I think it would be very helpful. As well. And then a nice transition is, I always thought Airbnb should have a point system or a reward system of some kind. They have so many things going on, and Airbnb stocks are climbing up. They've got a lot going on there right now that's positive. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are you seeing that's positive now? And there's been a lot of changes over the last quarter and start the new year in Airbnb.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny we're talking about this topic specifically, because last year, and on paper, they had a down year, but now they're seeing an increase, and people are maintaining on on the stocks for Airbnb. I see specifically in Airbnb, and what they're doing correct is being able to stay with the trends, right? Not only are they looking at all of their data and all their market and what's happening as far as like the travel trends, but they're leading the pack, right? You know, we talked here on the show. We brought up a couple of like cool homes and cool houses and unique stays. And they started seeing the need and the you're bringing one up there. There you go.
I'm just looking at their new one. You can train to be in Gladiator. I just saw the movie. Right.
So it's these little cool things and them knowing and seeing and how to use their data and being able to approach their company towards these trends. It continues. Not only are they seeing the trends, but they're actually creating the trends at points. So I think, you know, people are acknowledging that, seeing that. And I think why the interest in Airbnb continues. So I personally have stock in it. So every time I read about something Airbnb related with stocks, I'm like all about it. But, you know, people, we talked about it on the show, people, you know, hate on Airbnb, but they still maintain and continue to be one of the top booking channels.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I do notice that they've done more and more is, you know, they continue with the unique experiences, but also across the top, they keep adding more and more categories. Like at first, it was just a couple. Now they got vineyards you can stay on. Now you've got all different kind of places, just A-frames, just what's trending, you know, like pretty cool to see what they've got going on. It's a good place to do some research, right? It's like a lot of unique places that are trending if you really look at it.
We use it a ton as far as research when we're, you know, we're working or consulting or helping with a specific project. That's a big, big tool for being able to, you know, seeing the market. And we use it internally. I use it personally with a lot of our owners to show them, you know, the competitors and things of that nature. So it's always a good tool as far as research. And then obviously, you know, they lead the pack on trends and everything going on. So
yeah, I like to see their new recommended things, at least for us on this profile, is guest favorite. So not super host anymore, but guest favorite. And I'm proud to say we have a lot of guest favorite properties.
We do.
It's just interesting to see like how many things really are popping up here now as guest favorites.
It's incredible. There was a big, big implementation on the super host, and now it's guest favorite. They have switched it around and let the actual guests themselves determine what are the properties that you should visit.
So it's good to see. We stay on top of this all the time. So you may not have the time to do it if you're listening. I would advise you just to kind of always see what's going on there. But we have a whole team doing this all day, every day. So we know what's going on and talk about what's going on. We see a lot of things happening, right, that are good and bad. And there was some big news if you're in the short-term rental world. If you're out of the short-term rental world, not giant news. but Casago. Right, I always say Casago bought Vacasa for $128 million. And at one point, Vacasa was like a $1 billion company. They were the darling of the industry. They started as a property management company, raised money, and then started buying up every single property management company they could buy and try to make it like a corporate structure.
Right.
And they collapsed. They couldn't manage it that way, all spread out around the country. And Casago did it differently, where they're more franchise. So they give you all the tools you need, give you the supplies, like how to buy them and what to do, but you manage it locally, which is a different model. So it seems like that model won.
And you still maintain. Yeah. Yeah. I'm super, you know, kind of shocked in that sense that, you know, a company that we're familiar with and we you know them personally, you know, merged with such a giant, you know, kind of beast in the country. I believe on the article itself, it was saying Casago manages about 5,000 units all over the country versus Vacasa, which is 38,000 units. But in the last year, Vacasa has seen a churn of about 4,000 properties. So if you think about it, and you know, numbers wise, that's a big, big amount. We talked about it on the show that we would see you know, articles from Vacasa and talking about Vacasa and how they are going back to the local, you know, kind of experience for owners, for property managers, for guests. And it looks like they lost touch of that of that portion. So by going into a deal with Casago, I think they're emphasizing again on the local partnerships and the local hosts. So it's interesting what Casago is doing as far as like franchising, and they're empowering, you know, smaller operators and giving them the tools with a big name while maintaining still that local feel, you know. So it's interesting, and I'm sure there's probably many more details that we don't know about that are in the works, as everybody found out. I think it was like New Year's, I think, or right before New Year's, that the news came out. So super interesting.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what happens. We have a call with Casago. They reached out to us, and so we'll see what we can find out, what we're allowed to share. You know, we've had some discussions. Just, let's just see what they're doing. Let's learn what's up and see if there's anything that applies to us.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to find out for sure.
Yeah, it makes total sense. I mean, we've been in conversations, and we've talked about this of, you know, other operators that we've talked to, and they've expressed similar challenges. You know, they'll get to the 15, the 20 properties, and then it just completely consumes them, right? That amount of property, to be able to manage it efficiently, you need, you know, a tech stack, you need, you know, the right direction, or at least the ability to know exactly, you know, what you need to do to continue growing. So we've had conversations with operators that they're turning down, you know, properties from the 15 to 20 because, you know, they're kind of just locked in, and they can't really expand unless they put a structure behind it. So we've even thought of that model specifically for ourselves and helping these operators. But I think that's at the end of the day, it's what it's all about, right? Helping and getting those people and those operators to their goal, to what they want to get to.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like we talked about, like I was looking, you know, before we got on, I was looking at like, all right, smaller companies that we could potentially buy, but then the properties aren't very good. It's just right. Like, you know, it's interesting to see like how you value these companies, because we are not really interested in a handful of studios somewhere, right? That don't do well, because we know that, you know, in the wrong spot, wrong building, it's more of a headache just to even park and get into the building, right? And pay for parking and get your team in there and the hours that happen. So you really have to do your homework on what you would want to team up with. And then we look at other cities, right? Like we were talking in Orlando, but now like 9-bedroom homes I was looking at, like 12-bedroom homes are like, you could rent it out for $200 in the off season. And it's like, you know, it's interesting to see where the industry is going. And even in downtown Miami now, like we've been talking about this since forever, as those short-term rental units are not coming online, those 6,000 that are being built, and the rates are hanging low. So
that's incredible. So imagine a company, you know, struggling to get over that 20 threshold, unit threshold, and not knowing the available tools, you know, that you have to be able to look at these specific markets and make, you know, really
smart choices,
right, for themselves and then for, you know, their owners and their investors, and leading them and guiding them the correct way. So
yeah, I just pulled it up, and I'm just looking at that core of buildings in that World Center.
Yeah.
It's like $78 tonight, $180, $99. And so people who don't know how to manage it are putting the prices down. And everyone's chasing down that price.
Race to the bottom.
It's not like a hotel where you have a revenue director that's like, hey, let's look at what the city's doing. Let's not drop so low so we don't cause a panic and everyone else starts dropping. Like one of those units that we thought we were going to manage, $150.
It's incredible. That's right? Very low for what it is. It's a beautiful property too.
It's just so much. So anyhow, not to hate on it, I hope it bounces around, but it's like, what did you pay for these things? As I'm bouncing around looking at these as we're talking here. But that's what happened with Vacasa. They were taking on everything they could, buying up all these companies that there was no value to those contracts, just to get units. And then those owners of those units were like, I'm not making any money. And they would come to us or some others. And we were like, you know, there is not much you can get. Like,
yeah.
We've turned down a few places, right? We turned down a lot more than we take on.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we have, you know, a kind of like a threshold of what it is, a perfect property for us and what that looks like. But just today I spoke with an owner, you know, coming from another management company, won't say the name, but, you know, letting us know that the reason they're wanting to go with more of a local operator is because of, you know, transparency issues with financial issues. There's the revenue management doesn't make sense to them at points. So they expressed a lot of concerns that we see, you know, from these bigger companies also that they face challenges. So it's interesting always to hear on the owner's perspective of what they're seeing, you know, with the management companies. And we hear it all, and we see it all, and we always just take that information in and put it into what we're doing and seeing how we could always improve and provide a better service, a better product for our clients.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people that will tell you what you want to hear just to get you signed on. And then all of a sudden, when you're not making money, some of these people are just, they don't care, right? It's just, you're another number in the system. And so for us, like, we sweat it. Like, we are like talking about a couple of properties, like, they thought they were going to make much more. We told them they probably would not. And they're still thinking that they're going to make that. And we're showing them all the other properties around them, all the other units around them, and no one is making that money. But in their head, someone told them that.
100%. Yeah. And if you're an operator and you're listening in another management company, there's nothing more that'll cause will bring empathy towards a lot of these owners that, you know, stress on these issues than investing on your own, right? And having your own property and kind of going through those same instances as the owner. So now us, you know, investing in our own properties, we feel that you know, that pain and that concern that some owners, with all reasoning, bring up to us. So I understand fully, and you know, it's clear that a lot of these owners, and we're seeing it, a lot of these owners are requiring and wanting a little bit more communication, a little bit more transparency, and just a knowledgeable operator that is going to guide them and steer them the right way.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better, Victor. I think you nailed it. And, you know, you see it now. The ones that people are really succeeding are really like strong regional players. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of where it is. It's also the unique places, like what we're trying to work on now with our landscape hotel glamping site. Like, we're actively pushing that, but that's a big push. That's probably at the end of the year, hopefully. If we can go. Yeah, we're going to start raising some funds. So if you're listening out there and you want to invest in something that's ultra unique, so instead of buying that $3 million condo where you won't make your money in downtown, you can give it to us and be a part of something amazing that we're going to build that's ultra unique.
I can't wait to share.
Here in South Florida. Yeah. We'll get the first renderings here, I think, pretty soon. So anyhow, look, we talked a lot of different things here. We also got Jimmy Butler on the Miami Heat causing a lot of headlines and looking at those. So anyhow, just watching that as I was having lunch.
That's too funny.
What are you most excited about now, the first quarter here? What is something you're really looking forward to in business?
Yeah, so, you know, as far as like the first quarter itself, it's obviously our very busy, high demand season. So I'm really looking forward to, because we worked a lot, you know, last year to set up ourselves for success for this quarter. So I'm looking forward to seeing how the team, reacts to a really high demand and busy season. I'm very curious as to where, you know, future owners and current owners of ours are leading. You know, we have an eye on the long-term market here, specifically in South Florida, that keeps increasing. But I am looking forward to, you know, a lot of these tech companies, like what we talked about not too long ago for the company. Man, I'm drawing a blank. The one, the company that we mentioned that basically goes into your Airbnb listing and optimizes everything. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm also looking forward to a lot of these companies develop. We were just talking behind the scenes about ChatGPT and their new operator system. So I'm looking forward to a lot of these, you know, tech companies continuing to improve and then help a lot of companies like ours on the slower end of the months and maintaining their owners happy and content. So that's what I'm looking forward to. How about you?
I think for me, it is really what's been interesting is seeing the pace versus last year compared to this year. So a lot of people now, I don't know if it's because there's so many options now or what, but everyone's booking last minute now. Like within 7 days, like we got hundreds of people in January booking within 7 days. And usually we're getting like 20 days, 28 days. It keeps getting shorter and shorter. So when we first started doing this, it's like 6 years ago, it would be like 40 days out. People were booking their Airbnb or their vacation rental. Now it's like same day booking, right? And so it's interesting. We didn't even have that last year. And so I'm curious to see how that plays out for next month in March, because like January for everyone, we started behind. We're like, what's happening here? Like, it's very slow. We're like, all right, election, different things. But then all of a sudden we beat January of last year, like up at all last minute reservations. So I'm curious to see if that's happening for others. So we'll see. It makes it a little nerve wracking each month because you don't have guaranteed bookings in there. But I think that's part of the game, is that there's a lot more to choose from, with even more hotels, vacation rentals, unique places. You can stay at the Gladiator place, right, as well. So for me, that's one thing I want to watch, excited about. I think that we are going to get a great salesperson. I think that's what we need on the squad. I'm most excited about that. We've talked about that for years. So if you're out there and you're looking to work with a great team and really hustle, you can come join us. I was thinking, like, you know, when you walk past a supermarket, there are like people out there trying to sell you stuff and like sign up for their like favorite charity. Like, I got bombarded by one today. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go back to that girl and be like, hey, you want to come hustle? Let's go. That's what we need. We need some people who are like stopping people on the streets.
Exactly, man. No, it takes a bit. I know exactly who what you're talking about.
Oh, so. Excuse me, sir. Nice jacket. Come right over this way. I'm like, no, I gotta go, but I'll come back.
Hey, those are the people we need. I mean, it's I'm sure they're getting
scumbags. People. We don't want scumbags, but we want a hustler.
A hustler. Exactly. So I agree with you. But if you're listening, you know, we'd love to chat and learn more and see how we can help each other. Grow something, I think, really, really neat. So I'm excited for that as well. Thanks for bringing that.
Yeah, man. Look, we cover a lot of good things going on. Go get your copy of Hospitality Unlocked. Okay. Available on Amazon now. You can read Victor Feria's advice to his younger self. Plus,
there you go.
74 other amazing leaders that were in there. And really, we cover a lot. Happy to be doing this again. I always feel good coming on here with you, Victor.
Same.
And anything till next time.